This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Today, the 11th day of October, it's time for the Friday Night Delight, the WWE SmackDown After Show. My name is Flobo Boyce, but as always, I am not alone. I'm being joined by the globe-trotting journalist who was nominated for an Emmy. Give it up for Emily May. What's up?
Hey, Flobo!
Yeah!
Guess what? It's October, and you want to know what that means?
What's that mean?
It means it's baseball season.
Tro.
It's also dirt. In a cup time.
Dirt.
So that's for you. That's our inside.
This is long-term storytelling, but I never knew dirt cups were a thing until Emily May showed me during the pandemic. It was actually a real thing. If you're about that dirt in the cup life, let me know in the comments below.
I have to throw that in there. You know, we go way back. So you have to have it at least some point in the next few weeks.
No, I appreciate that. Shout out to everyone in the chat right now. Jose Topote coming in there. And it is coming out day. And Laura Rock says she was at blood pressure conference. I'm not sure.
The blood pressure conference? Yes, it was high blood pressure.
Oh, absolutely. As we're saying right now, the Dodgers and Padres are in a do or die game five. The Dodgers are leading. So that's why you see Emily May is being kind of festive over there.
Luckily, I had blue because I was like, SmackDown and Dodgers, done.
Oh, I know that. I always put my LED light blue for that, but no one ever knows those small details. By the way, question, how are you a Dodgers fan again?
How am I a Dodgers fan again?
Yeah.
Because I grew up in Los Angeles. My grandmother watched the Dodgers since they moved over from Brooklyn. Like, that's how far we go back.
Hey, I'm not accusing you. I'm just like, share, like, give you the backstory for the fans.
Oh, I get very, like, have a New York team or any other team?
Are you talking about the Mets? It's the Mets and nobody else. Hello. Oh, my.
Well, God. I have some friends who are Yankees fans, and I just talk to them. There's like a few months out of the year, I just don't talk to them.
You know that if you know people who are Yankee fans, they are not your friends. Thank you so much for joining us.
We go back to high school, so I can't really cut them.
See, that's very East Coast, where it's like, oh, man, he's a jerk, but we did high school together, so I guess we're tied to life, you know.
Yeah,
I'm three outs away going to the NLCS. But also, before we get into today's news, tonight's Yom Kippur, so wishing a meaningful fast to those who observe. That said, you probably will listen to this tomorrow, as it is.
You can't really listen to it.
Yeah,
tomorrow. And Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year for all of my Jewish friends.
True. That's how you know I'm from New York, or I'm not even Jewish, but I just know, like, you know, what the deal is. All right, so let's get into the news, because a lot of things are going down. Crazy times. By the way, before I get to the news, I saw you at Bad Blood Atlanta. Kind of upset I didn't get a ticket. You went without me. I think we're feuding now, but that's okay. How was the event?
I did not know we were feuding, Flobo.
Apparently, you just went to Bad Blood without me. You're out there like, here I am getting all these content and interviews and doing things. I'm like, man, I sure hope Emily May invites me. And she
wow. Okay, next time you need to hit me up. Apparently, I didn't know we were feuding, so I'm marking that down. It was really amazing. It was one of the, I mean, we're going to talk about it. It's one of those news topics, but the Hell in a Cell match was one of the best matches I've seen live. Was incredible to start the night. And of course The Rock returned there. You know, we had Cody, Roman, it just was high energy. It was a more intimate venue. So it really felt like we were getting really up close and personal.
So that's my question for you, Ms. May. You've traveled to Berlin. You traveled to the United Kingdom for wrestling events this year. These big, big venues. But this one here was kind of like almost an old school throwback to what WWE was. Have they found a way to bring that to small events? Did it feel different, better, worse? What was your takeaway?
So the set was smaller. So they still had the pyro. They still had all, but it just felt like it was a smaller just kind of a smaller setup. And it felt like we were closer to the ring. There was more seats kind of on the floor. I know the media team was closer as well. So I feel like they were bringing the big premium live event energy, but to a smaller venue. So it was like bigger than SmackDown, bigger than seeing Raw live, but it was maybe not as big as some of their big, huge arena shows.
Yeah.
It still felt, but the energy was there. So I
see how it is. No, you know, the next one is Crown Jewel. So I'll be waiting for the invite next week. So make sure you let me know.
Yeah, I know. That's like right around the corner.
Yeah. So we got some news and notes from Bad Blood. This one comes from the desk of Wrestling Inc. The original finish, it seems that, according to Dave Meltzer, and he's always reliable, the title match was originally changed the way it was. We told the return of Raquel Rodriguez, who's been suffering with a skin injury, return at Bad Blood, but it looked like the actual powerbomb was the chokeslam was behind the referee's back. Now, you were in the crowd when that happened. What was the vibe seeing Raquel Rodriguez return from a personal level and from a fan level?
Well, I think there was a lot happening. We were kind of distracted with Dom in the shark cage, which was kind of already really comical. And we were all like waiting to see what would happen. He obviously fell out. There was that pinata moment with Rhea Ripley. And so we were very distracted by that. There was rumors, speculation that Raquel would make a return during Bad Blood. In the audience, so I went back and watched it. I feel like it hit TV audience is better because of the camera angles, but in person, it was difficult to see who returned right away. So took a minute to register, like who was that? Who attacked Rhea Ripley? Stuff like that. So I think going back from a TV audience, it seemed like it hit a little bit better than the live crowd. Cause I think there was some confusion and just like late kind of delayed reaction.
I don't want to poo-poo things, but is it because we think that Red Raquel was gone for too long, or is it just specifically a technical issue, you think?
It might be a mixture of both. I think it was a mixture of both of like wondering if it could be someone, it could have been someone different attacking Rhea that might have been a little bit stronger. Coming out of an injury when you are months on and months off on television, it's hard to make a big comeback like that. There's a lot of pressure too, because you have to hit your marks and make sure that it comes across powerful and intimidating. And it was a big match to come back on. So I think it was a mixture of both, where I think it might not have come across to the audience as strong. And then also I think it could have been someone else.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. I love Raquel Rodriguez, but it felt like on the main roster it was kind of stop and start. But hopefully this could be a start of something cool elsewhere on that card. That Hell in a Cell, I will be honest with you. As someone who was a fan of wrestling for a long time, I've learned to become a little bit jaded of that particular stipulation. But CM Punk and Drew McIntyre had an all-out war, and they really have that gash being showed after the match on the forehead of Drew McIntyre was the stuff of viral meme sensation. Dave Meltzer reports this week that there was a bit of panic among everyone, to be completely, why not, that Drew McIntyre was suffering a little bit more than just the gash in the head. Looked like Drew McIntyre was fine. And said, hey, look, if I was feeling anything different, I'll throw up the X myself. But he powered through. Drew McIntyre, absolute beast of a man.
I do have to say, this was terrifying seeing live. So I'm a huge Hell in a Cell match fan, right?
You bloodthirsty, Emily. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I like fire and blood, and I love all the chaos, right?
It's not PG, dog.
Yeah. So after a while, all of us in our group were wondering, like, he's gushing. Like, it is full gushing everywhere. We're not sure. We thought that they were going to stop the match or do something because this was, we were terrified about Drew's injury.
Yeah.
And I think people were very concerned. It got very quiet in the arena at one point because it just was brutal. And then they kept showing it on the big screen, just like blood gushing. We obviously saw the social media post of it later with obviously the 16 staples, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, no.
Yeah. I could imagine, but they're able to I hear stories about people being legitimately injured in a match and empowering through, and I go, I would be the biggest wuss. I'd be like, owie, 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 please stop the match.
Well, your adrenaline anchor. Is a powerful thing. Adrenaline really gets you through everything. You've heard the grandparent, you know, the grandma pull the car, you know, to save a child underneath it. Like, adrenaline is a wild thing. So Drew definitely had it in this match, and hopefully he's on the mend, because that's definitely a very serious injury, because it can come with a lot of side effects, things like that, that you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, I go back to the Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania 39 over there in Hollywood, where the match was momentarily paused when the Demon Finn Balor had his own head injury. And that was always kind of scary, because you're like, because you know, when it's not playing the show, you get kind of uneasy. You're like, well, what do we cheer this on? You know, so all feels great. But I'm glad she was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alicia A, part of the Wrench Crew, says, people boo when the ref tiled off some of Drew's
blood. I mean, it was a lot of blood.
Oh, yeah. I remember when they were trying, WWE was trying to really do a hard PG. And if someone got, like, injured, they would have the ref come up with the gloves and, like, patch them up in the middle of the match. And that got over like a fart in church. No one liked that at all.
Yeah. So. I mean, the crowd did boo. And, like, he kind of shoved the towel away, too, because he's like, stop it. Like, you're so in the moment. You're trying to act like a tough bad guy, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to be like, you're going to tell the ref, get away. Like, don't give me the towel.
Right.
So, you know,
you're killing my vibe, man. I can't be like, exactly. I'm a Scottish psychopath. I know it's an old gimmick. And then be like, hey, please help me. But elsewhere on our news desk this week, according to WRKD, which shout out to you and your contributing program, also hat tip to Wrestling Inc., Big E may be involved in this ever-evolving New Day storyline. You know, on Monday Night Raw, even though we're a SmackDown show, there was this back and forth between Kofi and Xavier Woods about New Day, who is a leader, who is the communication leader, why are things happening? It looked like there was going to tease a split through Karrion Kross and Rey Mysterio and elsewhere, but ultimately it could be the return of Large Epsilon to really bring back home the New Day. Question for you, Emily May. A lot of people say the New Day is absolutely washed. Will this be a right end? We would like to see Big E return to help out the power of positivity.
I mean, I think Big E is amazing at everything, right? And I know he's talked about like his injury and he would love to return. But I think he needs to find what makes him happy and fit within like all the stories and the programming. So, of course, all of us are going to cheer him on. But I think he needs to do what's right for him, right? Yeah. And the other members of the New Day, because they have to do what's right for them, too.
Yeah.
So I know there's been like rumors of them breaking up and them moving on and doing other having other rivalries. And we've seen, you know, we've seen some fights and stuff between them, some arguments, not physical fights. But
right.
I think they all have to decide, because this is like, you know, like Hollywood marriages, right?
Right.
Like if you're married 5 years, it's like a century, right?
Yeah.
So for them to be together this long is like crazy in wrestling years.
Wrestling years. So it's like dog years where it's like 7 for 1. Like how long is a wrestling year? Is it?
I don't know. We got to calculate this. It's probably like one to 10.
Okay. Fair enough. But that was the thing. As a fan, do you want to see, if you had a choice, if everyone was healthy, would you want to see the New Day reform and have a new version of Big E returning? Or you say, hey, look, thanks for the memories. Good times were had by all. It's time to move on to a new chapter.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see them back, but rebranded in some way, like refreshed, have some type of new feel and look and philosophy and things like that. And I think I would love to see it as a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Tuck Raps says, to create a few while preserving a legacy, it's tricky. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good fella says, wish Odyssey Jones didn't screw up his opportunity. I would have liked him to add a layer of a story. Now, Odyssey Jones would not have been the one that you would have there, but how cool would that have been if they found someone else to be it, a person who would be a new character, but then, you know, kind of this whole tension. No, we're the original band. How you add the new guy? Because everyone can relate to the new guy being added to the group chat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we get over to today's episode of SmackDown, got to give a shout out to Brianna. Is it Brianna? Brianna Milligan, who says, liked and shared. Thank you so much for liking and sharing this, and the podcast version can only grow with your help. Do us a favor by subscribing and liking the video now and going over to your favorite podcast service of choice and dropping that 5 stars, baby. Oh, and do a review and be like, oh my gosh, Emily May is so great. Why is Lobo so mean to her? I can understand that because I read those all the comments. You know what I'm saying? Just putting it out there. No, because I wasn't invited to Black Blood. I'm a little salty about it.
All right, everyone, keep me updated on the Dodgers and Padres game as we talk about SmackDown.
Excuse me. No, it's fine. As a Mets fan, I'm like nervously waiting, like, oh man, because on one hand, you want to get the 2022 revenge of beating the Padres, but the way San Diego has price gouged those tickets, I really want LA to win because I wouldn't afford to go. You know what I'm saying?
I know. So. Well, and you're right there. You can do it. But the Mets have been like kind of incredible this season.
Oh my God.
So I know I just said that in a Dodgers jersey, but you know.
Hey, you know what? As the Dodgers, if you want to be world champion, how cool would it be if you took down the most feel-good team of the year? You know, why not embrace that? Shout out to Shohei Ohtani. Okay, let's get into this. Yes, so,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
SmackDown season 25 comes to you live from Greensville, South Carolina, and it's Jimmy Uso to start the show. Jimmy Uso made his return last week at Bad Blood Uso, which brings out Roman Reigns, and we got a little bit of that cinema. Roman Reigns, the tribalist chief, Jimmy Uso acknowledges him, but makes a point to say, you're the only one, I'm the only one that acknowledges you. Listen, Emily May, people have told me the bloodline, the new bloodline, this whole thing is getting kind of long in the tooth, but I was enthralled the way SmackDown opened this week.
I'm loving this bloodline stuff. This is, you were talking long-term storytelling. This is where it's at. They're going to just continue to add bloodline members. People are going to leave. There's going to be infighting. Because we all know families always have some fighting and drama.
Really? My family just kind of keeps a silent treatment and doesn't talk to anybody.
Really?
Not much of a feud if you don't talk to anybody.
I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, I'm sure there's someone in the bloodline that doesn't talk.
Fair enough. Tongaloa. You know,
just have them stand there in the corner. No, this is, again, it was really exciting seeing Jimmy return, and this has just got everyone really pumped up for this bloodline feud to continue, and I'm in for it. I know other fans might not be excited, but I think there's more people coming.
So. Let's jump ahead to the main event, because that's where the whole thing was set to play. Okay. For. Yeah, whatever. Hey, how about you cancel me, Wrestling Inc.? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not a heel. I'm a face. But I really want to connect this together. Eat your dirt, because, I know. Please. Yeah, that sounds like so mean. Eat your dirt in a cup.
I'll make you a baseball version.
Please, that'd be kind of great. Dirty cups are a real thing. So our main event actually was Solo Sikoa, the new or current tribal chief, against Jimmy Uso in a match that we thought Jimmy would have a chance to really get the upper hand on, because Solo Sikoa took the pin in Atlanta last week at Bad Blood. It wasn't the case. Solo absolutely dominated. It drew out Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns got to spell Samoan Spike for his trouble. The last thing we heard at the end was Jimmy telling Roman, we need help, parentheses, ooze. Walk me through this. The match was fire, but what happened after gives me a lot of pause for the future of the storyline.
Why does it give you pause? Are you nervous, Flobo?
I am. And if you want me to elaborate while the Padres are down to their last out, it's because we all want the bloodline versus new bloodline. We understand that match is going to be important. We understand the Rock is an element. Cody Rhodes is an element. But I find it hard to believe that Solo Sikoa took the pin and all of a sudden Roman is that weak, when the crowd hasn't really took into Solo as being a credible threat. It's like, you're like, Roman, kick his ass. What are you doing? He's like, I just can't. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we saw The Rock return, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, calm down. I know. Oh my God. Sorry, I have random people running in excited. Okay, yay.
You get random run-ins in your, you have a ring back? That's a random
run-in. Don't be the one. The Rock just returned to my living room.
That'd be kind of cool.
All right, now we're going. Woo, go Dodgers! I gotta get it out, Flobo. Woo! Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I can calm down.
If you need more time, I can totally ramble on. Oh, like, the problem with solo shorts is that they're too black and too red. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm excited. Okay. But I'm more excited for this solo Sokoa thing. There needs to be some alliances, right? So we got Roman Reigns needs to look strong and continue to look strong. I think The Rock's coming back. I think The Rock made that cryptic, you know, free, right?
Right.
So who is he taking out? Who is he going to align with? I think those questions remain. And I don't know how long this Roman Reigns as like the original tribal chief is going to continue. Sure. If he has bloodline members that are going to, you know, go against him. And like, absolutely. What is it called? Like you're in the military and you like defect. Right. You defect. Right, he's having the members defect against him, and like that's.
So yeah. I'm here with Alicia here. Is Alicia or Alicia? Let me know. I want to make sure I get your name right. I'm with the Rockers on Solo's side because again, if they decide to do that long term storytelling of a year and a half ago, it was who's saying Solo. But my question is, or the problem I have is, we love Roman, we love the Usos. Some people want Sami Zayn. Shout out to Glenn Rubin's design. They want Sami Zayn in the mix. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but Solo has really been the X factor. He is a tribal chief now. I like him. But the crowd has always said, and IWC has always said, it's not hitting. So the question I have, if you even add The Rock, will Solo be lost in the shuffle in that storyline?
I mean, the thing is, I don't know. I think Solo will get lost if he teams up with The Rock, because it's like, you're going to be in the shadow of The Rock. Like, you can't.
Fair enough.
You can't get. You can't get out of that, right? So I'm not sure where Solo, you know, he can continue to add members.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And continue to add. And like, because remember, it's been a numbers game. We've seen matches previously where it's like Solo has all of the muscle, right? And yes. And if he continues to play that game, that's the only way he's going to win.
Right. Right.
And maybe he doesn't necessarily need The Rock. And maybe The Rock isn't necessarily on his side. Maybe he's in it for himself. And maybe he's going to take both groups out because he is the final boss. So maybe he is the boss of them all.
Right. So I'm obligated to read this because this is a super chat. But hey, Emily, looking beautiful as always. I say obligated because I've been here for a year, Keon. And not one super chat was talking about how pretty I am.
Flobo, you are beautiful. You got your cool glasses on. You're rocking it.
She's like, I won't pay you $2, but I will say you're beautiful. I can't wait to see how this story unfolds. A lot of times I want to be able to watch what happens, because there's really multiple ways this could unfold. And I know wrestling fans love to book WrestleMania to WrestleMania, but I do think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns here, because you still have Jay with his title match. You still have The Rock coming, whatever. Where does Cody fit in, if at all? I'm all on board. So, see, thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Aww. Thanks, Alicia. I appreciate you. So let's go to the first in-ring match of the evening. This one is for the United States Championship. It's Carmelo Hayes against LA Knight. Yeah. And a match that was pretty solid. And I will say Carmelo Hayes personally has found a way to make him work with the main roster kind of flavor, but he fell up short, too much to the delight of Andrade hanging ringside. Nick Aldis later on says, hey, look, you two are 3-for-3. Maybe we should do a Game 7 with that person getting the United States title match. So, Emily May, two questions. Thoughts about the match, LA Knight versus Carmelo Hayes, and the thought of a 7 in the best of 7 series between Carmelo and Andrade.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, okay, so just talking about the match, I think Carmelo Hayes is really finding his groove with these types of matches, going against LA Knight. You know, Carmelo Hayes did not miss a beat in this match. And really, they were like neck and neck most of the time.
Yeah.
So overall, really, really great. And I love seeing LA Knight super like live. He always gets the crowd behind him. The Andrade thing, I don't know. I don't know how the seven, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen these trilogies of matches recently where you have this feud. So you got to build this feud. You have these multiple matches in these series, right? And you have to plan it out and make it worthwhile. Like maybe five would be a better number.
Sure.
Seven, I feel like, is a lot.
It is. But to WWE's credit, they did split it up. And it's a three-man feud. And I know I can't speak for everyone, but gun to your head. If you had to pick at the end of everything, would you keep the United States Championship with LA Knight? Would you try a run with Carmella? Would you try a run with Andrade if you were the booker?
So depending on when all of these matches line up.
No. You are the GM right now. I'm asking you. You know, WWE's on fire right now. We're not living under a rock. You own the brand.
How much pressure, Flobo?
Pick one of the three. Would you keep LA Knight with the championship? What's he got from Logan Paul? Carmelo Hayes is a young talent, trying to make his way up the rank. And Andrade is kind of like the prodigal son. Was here for a while, knocked about, went away to AEW, came back. Yeah. Who'd you give it to?
No, I'm going to do Carmelo Hayes. I'm a huge fan of LA Knight. I think after the best of seven, I think Carmella Hayes.
Oh yeah.
Would be an amazing shining star, amazing champion. And US champion is a good title to kind of start off with.
I do hope that what Corey Graves said about Carmelo bringing back the spinner belt doesn't happen. That is a John Cena thing. That was 15 years ago. Grand Flash 107 says, I'm just not feeling Andrade, even back in WWE. Now, this is interesting because Andrade is so technically proficient. He's actually gotten better in some ways, but it does seem like an also-ran on SmackDown. I do hope he has his chance in the sun. I'm not sure if that would be the case, but it's interesting to see that he's not considered – you don't see people clamor online for someone who was technically as proficient as Andrade. It's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think because he was gone and you have to reestablish who you are in this company, like you're back, but like you can't just insert yourself into everything. You gotta like earn it again. And so I think the audience is trying to gain the trust back of like, okay, why did I like you to begin with? Okay, show me why I liked you. And so I feel like he's in that process right now.
No, I'm totally with you. It's kind of finding yourself. And you can have all the skill in the world and be good. But when you are going to a new venue or a new job, you got to find out what your role is. And so, that's kind of this. And JT hit the nail on the head. Andrade is a true professional, and that's boring to a lot of people. I can think about so many professional characters in wrestling. Lance Storm, Steve Blackman, they're kind of boring, but they're great. You know, yeah. Don't tell Jack Farmer that, he's a big Lance Storm mark.
Ooh.
All right. Well,
yeah, I do agree. LA Knight needs to hold the title for a while, so I do agree with that. But if I was the GM, I might switch it up.
Yeah, that's kind of a difficult decision having a three-man division. So we had a women's tag team match, and it was Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend, who are calling themselves the Meta Girls, which I don't like that at all because they're grown women. But that's besides the point. Taking on Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, but that didn't happen first because Kevin Owens ran down to the ring and said, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't turn on Cody. He turned on me. Why am I suspended? Now, Emily May, after Bad Blood, that clip saw around the world of Kevin Owens getting that argument with Cody Rhodes behind the production truck. What is KO's problem? He's beating up Randy Orton backstage. He's absolutely unhinged.
He's unhinged. So we were supposed to have Cody Rhodes at the post press conference after Bad Blood, and Triple H, Paul Levesque came out and said, sorry, he's not available. And we didn't know until after we left that we saw social media and Kevin Owens beat up Cody after the show. And the fact that he's coming out here, causing trouble on SmackDown, backstage, in the ring, like he's unhinged. He's on another level right now.
Do you blame him though? Do you blame Kevin Owens? I mean,
he's just like running wild. I don't understand. So Triple H said, oh, we're going to take care of this and handle this internally.
Well, he did.
They didn't handle it internally because he showed up. Security didn't do their job. And now he went and attacked a few more people.
So I always love this because I'm like, did Kevin Owens like get to the arena, pretend he wasn't suspended and then slip past security? Or did he buy a ticket like a normal fan and then went behind somebody? It's never explained.
Like, did he buy a ticket or did he, it's Halloween. Did he dress up like something else and then sneak in the back and say, oh, I'm here. I'm an extra.
Right. Did he like dress up himself?
Yeah.
It's like when Sting wears a Sting costume.
Someone else and then snuck in.
Yeah, but JT098 has something else. People have been teasing this for a long time. A lot of people that want the big baby face always turn heel. The Homelander run. KO approve people right once Cody turns heel. And that's interesting. Alicia says, it's great how they execute this because it got people talking about KO attacking Cody. And I was worried. I was a little nervous. The women's tag team match, championship match, it wasn't going to happen. But thankfully, over a commercial break, it happened. The Meta Girls against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. I still think Jade still has one of the better entrances in all of WWE. The match was awesome. But what wasn't awesome was Chelsea Green and Piper Niven watching how everything unfolds. I guess Piper is becoming a full-on mean girl as well. The match itself was pretty solid, but Jade and Bianca retain. Talk me through this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really, I mean, I know the biggest comment online was how fast it was. It was a very fast match, but I think overall it was good. I mean, it had the drama of, you know, Kevin Owens, it had Chelsea and Piper ringside. Like, it had all the elements of, like, suspense, and it was a good debut for Lash and Jakara. So, you know, I think, you know, Jade and Bianca, they retained. I think none of us were really doubting that they would not retain. But I think it's adding to this tag team division across all of the brands. I think it's adding to the tension that these titles can kind of be defended anywhere.
You know what? I was going to move on, but I want to dwell on this quite a bit because Bianca made, she's made. Jade, she's on her way to be made, but she's hanging with Bianca. Now, Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend, these are talents that were in NXT, I think between, when you ask, between 2 and 3 years. I think Lash Legend has been longer tenured. They got a chance to go into the main roster. It was a short match. But people say there's getting over and then there's going over. Did this group get over? Or do people, you think, people want to see more of them on the main roster? Or is this just kind of like an experiment and didn't really work out this week?
I mean, I think they got over in the moment that they have. I mean, you have, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, right? So you are trying to get in your stuff. And I think they were very strong. They started the match really quickly. They went in like offense mode right away. And I think that shows that they were working as a powerful team. And obviously they didn't get the win, but I think it showed that they're strong competitors and they could be a force in the tag team division.
True. Question for the chat. Listen up. The Meta Girls are without Oro Mensah and Noam Dar, who has been injured definitely. Do you think Lash Legend Jakara Jackson need Noam, or do you think they're pretty much good to stand on their own? I know what Emily May thinks, but what do you think? Let us know in the chat below. Because, Frank, we're the best women's roster on the planet.
What's your dance, Lobo? I was told, hey, I'm like...
So, there's this running joke on the Monday show, the flagship wrestling show, the one that I have to ask if I could be the rotation, where everyone dances. And so, George does, like, the CEO dance, and then Jack does this thing because it's all off key. And, like, Lobo, what's your dance? I go, it's a podcast. No one cares. And, like, no, you need to dance. That's what it is.
Okay, well, at the end, we'll dance.
I am not dancing. I refuse. That's my heel turn.
I'm gonna get you to dance.
That's my heel turn. It's like dancing. No, boo. And the problem with you people is you want me to dance. All right. So, what was kind of cool about the match being short, if you can say that though, was it kind of bled into our next segment involving Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton. Nia Jax goes into the ring and says, "Hey, look, in 3 weeks we have Crown Jewel, where we have the Crown Jewel Championships. Whether or not it's going to be treated seriously, it's up for debate. Where the championships now will have a match, kind of like bragging rights, kind of like old school Survivor Series." She told Tiffany Stratton by force, "I'm going to beat Liv Morgan, and it's your job to cash in on Liv on that night." Now, before we get into the Naomi appearing, what do you make of that? Nia Jax knows her bestie has a Money in Bank briefcase, and she goes, "Your job 3 weeks from now is to beat up the other side, the other brand."
Well, I think that's super smart because Nia has seen that Tiffy has come out multiple times and has questioned or like thought about potentially cashing it in on Naya, right? And so Naya has her best, her own interests at heart. So she's telling Tiffy, and I don't know if I believe that she has this much power over Tiffy, but we'll see in a few weeks. But I think it's smart for Naya to turn the focus on Liv and not herself. So I think it's a very smart move. It's a strategic move. And we'll see if it works out in Naya's favor.
Well, what ends up happening was Naomi coming out and being like, Naya, you whack. I pinned you and your sidekick last week. Let's have a match right now. And it was on. Nia Jax against Naomi. Even though I've had my own reservations of feeling the glow in 2024, you can't deny the athletic ability of Trinity Fatu. She gets the win with a little help from her friends around ringside, because Judgment Day showed up as well. So Judgment Day comes out, Raquel Rodriguez has her thing, Rhea Ripley comes her thing, and we have this giant inter-brand women's dust-up. I loved it because it shows that the women's roster is deep, but it looks like almost nothing got solved tonight on SmackDown.
No, I think it caused more chaos, which I loved. I feel like this was such a jam-packed episode of SmackDown, and what you alluded to earlier, Flobo, is that a lot of these elements moved fluidly together. Like, this kind of felt like all of these moments were moving into this as well, this segment, before it obviously got to the match. So it felt very, like fluid, and I liked this. I felt like it was different kind of production style that we've seen. And I think I love how the Judgment Day is, like, taking sides, right? And Naomi's obviously super strong, and I think her return, she's changed completely and has strengthened into someone that has the confidence to go out and challenge. And I think that shows that she's ready, and we saw that tonight.
We got to go into the chat for this one. Shout out to Majestic Marie, part of the Wrench crew, our moderator staff. He goes, hey, Global Namely. Hey, what's going on, girl? I was at SmackDown tonight, and it was a show as fun on TV as in person. I had a blast. Now, I would say personally that I thought the show was pretty much on point. We had this, the segments with the Bloodline. We had some hard-hitting matches. I really felt this match was a match of the night, but some people in the chat disagreed. And she goes, I lost my mind for Rhea. Rhea Ripley still proving, even though she's not the main focus, she's not the champion. I'm saying, like, she's the champion, being able to be a star, showing up, having everyone hit roof. That's pretty cool. JT08 says, 098 says, Bloodline feud here, Trinity versus Naya. Okay, so let me stop down here. Let me ask you, because you are an actual wrestling journalist. We talk about how 5, 10, 15 years ago, how the women's divisions on Raw, SmackDown, NXT have improved exponentially. And there was a time where NXT had the best women's roster of all time. Does the Bloodline, or would the women benefit being added to the Bloodline feud? Or do you believe the roster is strong enough to stand on their own? I know this could be a multi-level answer because you're a fan, you're a journalist, you're a pundit. But thoughts about Naya and Trinity being part of the Bloodline, or thoughts of keeping them separate?
So it is kind of a double-layered question, because I think a lot of the fans, and is at when you look at that Bloodline tree, the family tree, we saw The Rock put it up right on the big screen. We've seen Sick. It, right? It goes deep, right?
Yeah.
And I think the exciting part is, can there be a female version of the Bloodline? Or are they integrated in and there's some feuds? And I mean, we see kind of the breadcrumbs tonight that there could be potentially some opportunities to do that. But what I question is, I think the women can stand on their own. I think they can have, like, badass matches on their own. But it could be, on the other flip side, be really cool to integrate into these huge main event, you know, Survivor Series is coming soon.
Yeah.
Could there be a big women's kind of Bloodline feud?
I might get some heat for this, but I feel like this is the kind of fandom I like. I like the idea of having women in the Bloodline, because this shows you that it's one family, everyone's equal. Even though Trinity's been in the Bloodline per marriage, she is part of the family.
Yeah.
However, what I am disappointed with, even with the advancement of Evolution in the women's roster, is that we don't have an answer off the top of our heads if we go, what's the greatest women's faction of all time? almost everyone hesitates. It's like, well, and I want that to be solved first before adding. But hey, look, the Bloodline storyline is hot. Maybe there won't be another Bloodline 2-3 years from now. But I really think that's something I would love to see before I become old and gray and crampy and curmudgeonly. It's like, I want a woman's shield, or I want to
become crabby.
Hey. Just because I don't dance, I love the Mets, I hate pay for parking does not make me crabby.
I mean, I think we all, I mean, the one thing that is universal about wrestling is everyone is going to have their Mount Rushmore, their who's the number one, right? Everyone's, mm-hmm. It's all opinion, right? So I get your point though, Flobo, where it's like, we want to turn to a group that we know that is the best, the greatest of all time, right?
Sure. I don't want to add a woman for the sake of adding women. I want it to actually
be. Exactly. It needs to have meaning behind it. And that's kind of how I feel too, in a way, is I don't want them to add people because they're like, well, they're part of the group. Let's just add them, because it has to have meaning. Just like when, with the Judgment Day, it had to make sense for things to get shifted and to move around and to add different members, to get rid of members. Like, it has to make sense. And so, whatever happens between Nia and, you know, Naomi, if there's more feuds and stuff in the down the line, like, it needs to make sense.
Here's a question about characters, though. Raquel Rodriguez has appeared, and she looks like she's being Big Mommy Cool again. Fan? Not a fan? Is it too old school? Too much of a retread?
No, I mean, I think she looks super intimidating and scary every time she comes out, right? She's coming out strong, but I think she needs to have a purpose, right? Mm. Now that she's coming back, like, we saw the return with Rhea and that moment. So, like, each week she's being integrated back into programming, it needs to, like, lead. Is she just going to be helping people out? Is she going to be competing? Like, what?
Right.
What is her role? And that's what I think they're trying to, like, we're still trying to get a feel for.
Yeah. So Alicia hit the nail on the head here too. She goes, yeah, we don't want the Bloodline to turn into the NWO. And I get that, because the NWO was the biggest story for of all time, arguably. But I always tell Jack, because Jack is a big WCW guy, I go, hey, remember Horace Hogan? He was the NWO. And that's when it was lame. It was like, it was already old. You're adding people now. Like, 30 guys came out the limousine. And yeah, Mackenzie, my lord, says a woman in shield will be interesting. Yeah, you know, I know there's Pure Fusion Collective. I know there's the Meta Girls. Like, I know they tried, but I really feel like if women's wrestling is going, or at least in a WWE spirit, because Stardom is his own thing and New Japan is his own thing.
Yeah.
But in North America, if you really want to say our women are the best, I want to be able to have what I call like a stealth evolution. You can have a card with all women and not brand it, and no one would notice. You know what I mean? Like, I want the heavyweights. I want the cruiserweights. I want stables. I want like Jade's weather package when she comes out and just sparkles and like, give me everything. I'm just totally being a nut job here. Before we move on and to next segment, so we had another promo about the city of Detroit. It looks like MCMG is going to appear next week. And also Los Garza, which is, I guess, the new name for the tag team within Legado de Fantasma, is going to have a special mystery opponent next week. Looks like it's going to be Motor City Machine Guns. Talk to me about that. In the WWE sphere, SmackDown's roster seems to be kind of uneven. They're adding a new tag team, but it's one that's been made their hay elsewhere for decades. Motor City Machine Guns.
I mean, I love Motor City Machine Guns. You know why? I've seen them many times up close and personal. I think this is a great get. Obviously, we'll see how it goes down next week. But we've seen all the signs in the packages. We've seen all the hints. And the thing is, there's always room for really great tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a great tag team. So...
Before I follow up on that, there was about Asuka, Kairi Sane, the EO Sky. See, look, I was a fan of the Sky Pirates. I didn't quite get the Kabuki Warriors. But hey, you know what? Any combination is fine. So, Bala tag team situation. You had the Street Profits backstage. You had DIY backstage. I have been more than critical that DIY on the main roster just ain't hitting. So, two questions for you. One, your thoughts about Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. And two, will the Street Profits and DIY get lost in the shuffle, not you're adding back Los Garza and the Motor City Machine Guns?
I don't think they'll get lost. I think I do kind of feel DIY didn't necessarily hit in the way that that I feel like fans didn't really get behind them as much. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're better rivals than they are tag team partners, in my opinion. But I think when you look at the tag team division, it's not as deep as other parts of the roster. So I think adding another tag team is not going to really change where those other teams, where Street Profits and things like that, where they are. Yeah. I think it's going to maybe get them to up their game.
Yeah.
And really like pay attention and be like, oh, okay, they're bringing in more people. We got to like pick this up. We've seen the Street Profits kind of try to get some wins, try to like get some momentum back. Right. Adding more teams will get them to like pay attention a little bit more.
Sure. I miss, and I think it's not even the fault of DIY or the Street Profits or I guess on the show, we call it Los Lobos Locos, but Humberto and Garza. I want a fresh team. I'm not even sure that means NXT or a new thing. I think what the tag teams I loved over the past 10 years, I was a big fan of the Bar. I thought that was great. I like Fraxium. They were kind of like a fresh team. And it's like not the fault of the Street Profits. I just kind of think I'm ready for new characters in that space. And maybe I'm just asking for a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but if, I mean, the Street Profits have been together a long time as well. And like, it's okay to want fresh faces and fresh teams and to have things, people paired together. But I think what's, when you're integrating new teams in, you have to bring already established teams. And so I think that's what is smart about these moves is they're bringing like firmly established teams. They don't have to build them up again. They're not going to NXT. They're ready to go on the main roster. And that's smart.
Shots of Goodfellas. It's crazy how many big names Fraxium have beat. I say their main roster talent. I
love Fraxium.
I love them. But can I be just a little bit selfish?
You want to keep them for NXT?
No. Screw that. Forget that. I like Axiom on his own. With Rey Mysterio approaching, or either he is or going approaching 50, I do think there's a space for new Luchador. We tried it with Dragon Lee, and he's okay, but he's not hitting. But you have someone who is from Madrid, the masked man from Madrid in Axiom, a kid, and he likes math. I mean, that is perfectly a character built for the next generation. I can see six-year-olds having an Axiom action figure. Like, I want a chance for Axiom to get the ball, to sort of speak, to really show what he can do as a singles competitor.
Well, I mean, as more luchadors are introduced, you never know. Maybe there's some Fraxium, and we already saw some tension between them. So
yeah. Absolutely. I got to give a shout out to Danny Crockett, Fire Pro Wrestling, you know, making sure he's the advocate for that. Before we wind this down here, thank you so much for rocking with us on a Friday night. Tomorrow, right here on this channel, myself alongside future Hall of Famer Jimmy Core 2 Darius are going to be knocking down AEW Wrestle Dream. It is a car that came out of absolutely nowhere, so you want to be able to watch that pay-per-view and come out with us afterwards or break down what happened overnight. Seriously, like 3 weeks ago, I was like, who's on this card? Now it's 20 matches. Like, what happened?
Wait, I just did predictions yesterday. Did they add more to Zero Hour?
No, but they will.
There's one match for Zero Hour. That doesn't feel right.
I get it. I work hard. If I'm paying $50 for a pay-per-view, give my money's worth. But I swear, it sneaks up on you. It's like, ha-ha, Will Ospreay. Oh, crap. You know, it's going to be a good time either way. So make sure you hang around for that. So Emily May, before we wrap this up, got to ask you how you're feeling. The Los Angeles Dodgers are moving on to the NLCS. Shohei Ohtani, first time in the playoffs. Thanks a lot, Anaheim.
Woohoo! I am feeling great. Go Dodgers. I am so ready. I'm going to be wearing Dodger blue every day until we win the World Series.
Are you coming out to one of the games? Some of the games?
I can't afford that.
You were just in Atlanta and Berlin and London and Saudi Arabia and the moon. What do you mean?
If it's on the moon, I can go.
For sure.
No. I will be supporting in whatever way I can. But yeah, I'm ready.
Well, we all know true baseball fans want a Subway Series. That's not your fault. It's just the way it is. Anyway, sorry, Tigers fans. We don't really care about y'all.
Tigers did well this season, though.
That's where it ends tomorrow. Cleveland all the way. I like the go guards. Well, this is the end for the Wrestling Inc. Show, SmackDown After Show. Let us know in the comments below about your idea. What would be a fantastic women's stable if you have something at the ready. I'll be there to read your comments and respond to them over the weekend. Tomorrow is Wrestle Dream on the AEW side. And, of course, Corderis and I will be doing the post show. Emily May, take us away.
Oh, my goodness. Well, follow me on social media right here on all social platforms. Emily May. I'm going to be a Booker T's promotion tomorrow, Reality of Wrestling. And yeah, I have a lot more exciting things coming up. So follow me and you'll see all of my wrestling adventures. I believe I'm covering SmackDown next week too.
Are you?
And I believe so. And some other shows. So
wait, did you beat up Glenn Rubinstein backstage like Kevin Owens? Is that what?
I pulled a KO. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, if you don't see Glenn, we know exactly what happened. We'll see you guys tomorrow and Monday for the Raw Wrestling Inc. Show. Until next time, I don't know how to end the show. I'll just hit that entry button. That's what Jack does. He says, I hit this entry button now, and we do this. I'm not dancing. Peace out.
Dance!
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.